As I've said before, Mark is my favorite gospel. Part of it is because of Mark's ability just to get to the point more often than not. But also, you know, it is the one that it is, by most scholars' estimate, the earliest of the four gospels. And it is also the one where Jesus appears more human. You know, we all know that Jesus is fully God, fully human, but we often forget that second part. And realizing that, you know, as a man, you know, he was brought up in a culture, you know, not only the good traditions, but also some of the not so good. You know, by the time you get to the Gospel of John, of course, Jesus is pretty, you know, a pretty powerful figure. You know, in Mark, you have Jesus at times a little bit more hesitant, especially when you start getting towards the crucifixion, where especially when he's in the garden, you know, he's asking God to take away, you know, this if he will. Where you get to the Gospel of John, where you have sort of the Superman Jesus is like, let's go to the crucifixion, guys, you know. So it's, you know, it's always interesting how the different writers saw Jesus. But today, you have, as I said, a very human Jesus. And this is a gospel that makes, I think, most preachers a little bit nervous about preaching. Especially those of us who are men. Because how do you explain Jesus calling a woman a dog? And I know a lot of preachers will sit there, they'll talk briefly about it, kind of soft pedal it, and then kind of move straight to that deaf guy. Others will try to soft pedal it by, because the term that is used in Greek is more of a diminutive term, saying, oh, he was kind of calling her like a yippy little puppy kind of thing, or saying he was testing her. And to be honest, I don't know why Jesus said what he said. You know, we know that for some reason he's in the region of Tyre. We're not even told why, you know, if he's on vacation or what. You know, because we are told he goes to a house by himself and wants to be by himself. So maybe he's taking a little break and, you know, as that thing is, you finally get a day off and somebody calls. Maybe that's where he's at. I don't know what. But the thing is, for a Jew in his time, for someone of, you know, Jesus' people to call somebody a dog, this was not a good thing. You know, nowadays, as you know, we spend more money on dogs than we do children. And we have puppy parents and puppy grandparents and all that. It's a whole different culture. Dogs, I love dogs, but, you know, we all, you know, anybody who's ever owned a dog know that, you know, they are scavengers by nature. If you've ever got home and you found your trash from the kitchen all the way to the back bedroom, you know that dogs like to get into things and rot. And because of this, dogs were considered unclean. That, you know, because of the things they ate, the things they got into, you know, people didn't generally keep dogs except for if they didn't have a purpose. And so, for somebody to call another person, especially a Jewish man, to call a foreign woman a dog, this is not a good thing. I mean, basically, it's about probably the worst thing you can call another person then, especially when you think about some of the worst things you can call a woman now, or any, you know, or say, you know, of somebody, some of the horrible things you can say to a person of color, or some of the things you can say to an immigrant. So when Jesus calls her a dog, no matter how diminutive, I don't know what Jesus was meaning, but I often wonder what it must have been like for her to hear this. Because especially when you consider she broke all traditions and conventions to come talk to him. Because she was not only a woman, she was a woman of another people. And women didn't go up and talk to strange men in those days. We've talked about that in the past. Yet, like many parents, the needs of her child went past you know, any of the social customs, you know, any traditions, any laws. All you have with this mother is this idea, you know, that she's heard that this guy does miracles. You know, she's not even of the same faith, but she's willing to do whatever it takes for her child. And, you know, we see this time and time again. You know, I think of all the parents and grandparents in this room and the many things that you would do if your child was in peril. And then to be treated like that. And the thing is, what makes this such an interesting story is the woman's response, because she had one. You know, I think this is probably one of the first, you know, if not one of the very first, probably one of the first feminists we've ever seen. Because the moment Jesus, you know, tells her that this is for basically the people of Israel, not for you foreign dogs, like, she comes right back and says, yes, but even the dogs get the crumbs. And of course, Jesus hears her. She speaks up for herself. And Jesus stops, he listens, and he changes his thought. And, you know, she basically made his ministry wider. Now, as I said, we're all part of this wonderful life, you know, being followers of Christ, being Christians, and called to follow Christ, and realizing that even Jesus has a bad day, but Jesus can change. And that we also sometimes in our thinking have to change. But also, as we saw today, we have a woman who spoke up for herself. She voiced her concerns and she was listened to. But sometimes others don't have either that ability or that right to speak up for themselves. Or maybe it's because they have, those of you who've worked, you know, in areas like social work or nursing or medicine, you've come across those people who, because they've been knocked down so many times in life, whether emotionally or physically, are afraid to talk for themselves. And we as Christians are called to speak up for those who are at the weakest. Sometimes, you know, that comes in different forms. Sometimes it's actually going, you know, it is actually going up and talking to somebody. Sometimes it's letters. Sometimes we even talk with our checkbooks. It's like, especially right now, as we are seeing with the people of Syria, all these people who were basically, we've known for the last 4 years things have been horrible over there. And it's been very easy to sort of pretend it's not happening. And then we have this horrible scene of a toddler laying on a beach. And then it's sort of like one of those things where we all realize this is real. We can't ignore this anymore. And it's up to us to figure out different ways to speak about that. And there's a lot of atrocities that happen even in our own country. Now, one of the things we have to do as Christians is to look at ourselves and to say, how am I standing up and helping my sisters and brothers who are in need, especially those who do not have a voice? And then asking ourselves, in what ways can I? If, you know, if I'm not doing so, or if I see something happening. You know, and I'm going to say it's going to be a different answer for all of us. But the thing is we need to really explore that. We need to look at it. We need not to shy away. We need to be like that brave woman in today's gospel who, instead of, you know, basically going away defeated, spoke up, and in doing so made a great change. So my sisters and brothers, I hope that as you go home this week, you do take some time out to contemplate. Our bishop wrote a letter on the Syrian crisis. He was sent out a lot of email, but it's, for those of you who go online and want to check it out, It's, you know, it's basically right near the top of the various things. But it also talks about for those of, you know, I know a lot of times we want to help out financially, and, you know, and it's hard because we don't know where to send money, because we all know that there's a lot of places that you send your checks and about 80% by the time you get done with it, maybe the small portion goes. Well, the there is an address and information on if anybody would like to make a donation for, you know, the refugee crisis to help out. There is some information online there, and I'll try to get that and copy the letters for those of you who, you know, don't do the internet for next week. But there is ways to contribute through the diocese. And the great thing is you know that going it'll go through one of our various charities from the Episcopal Church, and the money will get there. So we'll have that information for you in the next week. My sisters and brothers, sometimes life just, you know, you look around and it just seems so horrible at times. But the thing is, as long as we are in the world, as long as we are in Christ, there's always that light. Sometimes it's tougher than others. Sometimes it's tougher than others to be that light. But the thing is not only do we have God always with us, we have one another to support us. We may not always agree on issues, but we are still there to hold one another up. And in doing so, we can hold up others who may not be a part of our community here. And so I encourage you to go out, and as I said earlier, think about the ways you can serve your sisters and brothers, and then go past thinking. Because one thing I noticed about, we always talk about Episcopalians, we committee everything to death. We're great at committees. Sometimes it's going to that next step. But the thing is to know that when we go that next step, you're not alone.